नाद्यपि सुनीचे न चरारिव सहिष्णुना अमानिना मनदेन कीर्तनीया सदा हरि हरिन्नाम हरिन्नाम हरिन्नामैव केवलम् कलौ नास्त्येव 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 गतिरन्यथा. So, let us begin with this prayer from the Dashavatar Stotram. If you give me the note that you start Nisringa prayers, I'll try to sing.
Chalayasi Vikramane Balim Adbhuta Vamana Padanakanira Janita Janapavana Chalayasi Vikramane Balimad Bhutta Vamana Padanakanira Janita Janapavana Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Keshava Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare
We can do it together. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a dwarf Brahman, all glories to you. O wonderful dwarf, by your massive steps, you deceive King Bali, and by the Ganges water that has emanated from the nails of your lotus feet, you deliver all living beings within this world. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this Vaman Lila is described in the 8th canto, chapters 15 through 23. And we are going to read the chapter summaries. And in this way, we will remember Lord Vamanadeva. So chapter 15 is entitled, Bali Maharaj Conquers the Heavenly Planets. This chapter describes how Bali, after performing the Vishvajit Yajna, received the benediction of a chariot and various kinds of paraphernalia for war, with which he attacked the King of Heaven. All the demigods, being afraid of him, left the heavenly planets and went away, following the instructions of their guru. In this chapter we learn how Shukracharya brought Bali Maharaj back to life. There is also a description of Indra's capital city. No one who is sinful, envious, violent toward other living entities, cunning, falsely proud, lusty, or greedy, can enter that city. Thus, the people who live there are all devoid of these faults. Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods, also advises Indra to become incognito and Bali Maharaj performs 100 Ashvamedha sacrifices. And the reason he did that is because once he assumed the seat of Indra, then the Brahmins told him, if you're going to be Indra, you have to do 100 horse sacrifice, just as Indra did, so you have to do also. Incognito means nobody can detect. No one can understand where you are. You're a disguise. Like the Pandavas, that last year, that 13th year, they could not be detected. Incognito. Continuing, Maharaj Parikshit wanted to understand how Lord Vamanadeva, on the plea of taking 3 paces of land from Bali Maharaj, took everything away from him and arrested him. Shukadeva Goswami responded to this inquiry with the following explanation. In the fight between the demons and the demigods, as described in the 11th chapter of this canto, Bali was defeated and he died in the fight. But by the grace of Shukracharya, he regained his life. Thus he engaged himself in the service of Shukracharya, his spiritual master. The descendants of Bhrigu, being pleased with him, engaged him in the Vishvajit Yajna. When this Yajna was performed, from the fire of Yajna came a chariot, horses, a flag, a bow, armor, and 2 quivers of arrows. So right here, you can get an understanding of why Sankirtan is the recommended sacrifice. Because we do fire yajnas. All we get is ash. But look what they do. When they do a yajna, look what happens. And you read in the Bhagavatam, sometimes if they do the yajna, Vishnu himself personally appears. Yes. And also, after the Daksha Yajna, after Lord Shiva and after Daksha gets the head of a gonad, when they finally complete the sacrifice, Vishnu personally appears. So, in Kali Yuga, we're not at that level. So we just do Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. I want to stop and bless you for doing this program today. Because I've always wanted to do this on the day. And because we're doing it on the day, we're going to get so much ashirvad. Hare Krishna. So you've made me very happy. Thank you. Maharaj Prahlad, Bali Maharaj's grandfather, gave Bali an eternal garland of flowers, and Shukracharya gave him a conch shell. Bali Maharaj, after offering obeisances to Prahlad, the Brahmins, and his spiritual master, Shukracharya, equipped himself to fight with Indra and went to Indrapuri with his soldiers. Blowing his conch shell, he attacked the outskirts of Indra's kingdom. When Indra saw Bali Maharaj's prowess, he went to his own spiritual master, Brihaspati, told him about Bali's strength, and inquired about his duty. Brihaspati informed the demigods that because Bali had been endowed with extraordinary power by the Brahmins, the demigods could not fight with him. Their only hope was to gain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, there was no alternative. Under the circumstances, Brihaspati advised the demigods to leave the heavenly planets and keep them somewhere invisible. The demigods followed his orders, and Bali Maharaj, along with his associates, gained the entire kingdom of Indra. The descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being very affectionate to their disciple, Bali Maharaj, engaged him in performing 100 Ashvamedha Yajnas. In this way, Bali enjoyed the opulences of the heavenly planets. Yes, yes. Because not that he's a descendant, but somehow or other, by some, I'd have to research it, but somehow or other, either due to Sukracharya or Bali Maharaj, there must be some connection. Because it's a little odd. Because Brihaspati is super Brahmana,
yeah.
Right? And normally, you're not going to get demons
right.
to get the blessings of. So there must be something there.
Yeah.
Okay?
But Brihaspati is different from
Brihaspati. Yes, Brihaspati is different.
He's the guru of the
demigods. Yes, yes. But Brigu, that's different. Yes. All right.
This is the same Brigu Maharaj, Brigu Muni. He
yes.
Chest of
stepped on the chest. Yes, same Brigu. He's direct son of Lord Brahma. And he's the same Brigu that in that Daksha Yajna, when Daksha is criticizing, then the followers of Lord Shiva curse the Brahmins, and then Brigu, on behalf of the Brahmins, counter curses. So there's a big exchange. So Brigu is there. All right, shall we continue?
Yeah.
Okay. Canto 8, Chapter 16. Executing the Payavrata process of worship. As described in this chapter, because Aditi, the mother of the demigods, was very afflicted, her husband, Kashyapa Muni, told her how to observe vows in austerities for the benefit of her sons. There is an interesting conversation between Aditi and Kashyapa, and Kashyapa instructs Aditi how to execute the Payavrata process of worshipping Lord. Everybody say?
Narayana.
When Kashyapa Muni was requested by Aditi, he slightly smiled. Alas, he said, how powerful is the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, by which the entire world is bound by affection for children. Since the demigods were not visible in the heavenly kingdom, their mother, Aditi, because of separation from them, was very much grieved. One day, after many, many years, the great sage Kashyapa emerged from a trance of meditation and returned to his ashram. He saw that the ashram was no longer beautiful and that his wife was very morose. Everywhere in the ashram, he saw signs of lamentation. The great sage, therefore, inquired from his wife about the well-being of the ashram and asked her why she looked so morose. After Aditi informed Kashyapa Muni about the ashram's well-being, she told him that she was lamenting for the absence of her sons. She then requested him to tell her how her sons could return and reoccupy their positions. She wanted all good fortune for her sons. Moved by Aditi's request, Kashyapa Muni instructed her in the philosophy of self-realization, the difference between matter and spirit, and how to be unaffected by material loss. But when he saw that Aditi was not satisfied, even after he had given these instructions, he advised her to worship Vasudev, Janardana. He assured her that only Lord Vasudev could satisfy her and fulfill all her desires. When Aditi then expressed her desire to worship Lord Vasudeva, Prajapati Kashyapa told her about a process of worship known as Payavrata, which is executed in 12 days. Lord Brahma had instructed him how to satisfy Lord Krishna by this process. And thus, he advised his wife to observe this vow and its regulative principles. So before we go to the next chapter, I am reminded of what Krishna said to Vasudeva and Devaki on the first Janmashtami night. Remember that Krishna appeared first as four-handed Narayan and told Vasudeva, this is the third time I am appearing as your son. And I am appearing in this way because if I had appeared like an ordinary child, you may not understand that I am appearing third time as your son. The second time is this time. Because he said, previously you were Aditi and Kashyapa. It says right there. So this is what he was referring to. And he said, I came as your son, Vamanadev. Alright. Prishni Garba, exactly. Vamanadeva and then Krishna. Chapter 17. The Supreme Lord agrees to become Aditi's son. As explained in this chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being very pleased by the Payovrat ceremony performed by Aditi, appeared before her in full opulence. At her request, the Lord agreed to become her son. There is a conversation between Aditi and Lord Vishnu, as well as Lord Brahma's prayers to Lord Vishnu in the womb of Aditi. The Lord advised Aditi as follows. Always thinking of me as being situated within the body of your husband, Kashyapa, go worship your husband, who has been purified by his austerity. And we always used to hear Prabhupada, austerity is the wealth of the brahmanas. He also warned her, O lady, even if someone inquires, you should not disclose this fact to anyone. That which is very confidential is successful if kept secret. Anything that's this whole thing, she should not advertise. Right? And I like this, what Vishnu is saying. That which is confidential is successful if kept secret. Yes. Let us continue. After Aditi performed the Payovrat ceremony for 12 continuous days, the Lord, who was certainly very pleased with her, appeared before her with four hands, and dressed in yellow garments. As soon as Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead present before her, she immediately got up, and with great ecstatic love for the Lord, she fell down to the ground to offer respectful obeisances. Aditi's throat was choked because of ecstatic feelings, and her entire body trembled with devotion. As she wanted to offer suitable prayers to the Lord, she could not do anything, and thus she remained silent for some time. Now it's different when she's Devaki and Krishna appears. At that time she's able to offer some prayers. So I find that interesting. Here she can't. Then, feeling solace, observing the beauty of the Lord, she offered her prayers. Okay, so here she goes. She was able to offer prayers. So nullified what I just said. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul of all living entities, was very pleased with her, and he agreed to become her son by incarnating as a plenary expansion. He was already pleased by Kashyapa Muni's austerities, and thus he agreed to become their son and maintain the demigods. After giving his word of honor to this effect, the Lord disappeared. Following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Aditi engaged in the service of Kashyapa Muni, who could see by samadhi that the Lord was within him, and who thus placed his semen in the womb of Aditi. Lord Brahma, who is known as Hiranyagarbha, understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had entered Aditi's womb. Thus he offered prayers to the Lord, just like when Devaki was in the prison and she was carrying Krishna, the demigods would regularly come and encourage her and offer prayers to Krishna in the womb. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chapter 18, Lord Vamanadeva, the Dwarf Incarnation. This chapter describes how Lord Vamanadeva appeared and how he went to the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Bali, who received him well and fulfilled his desire by offering him benedictions. This chapter nicely describes how Vamana was properly worshipped by the demigods upon his appearance, and the cordial conversation between Bali Maharaj and Vamanadeva. Lord Vamanadeva appeared in this world from the womb of Aditi, completely equipped with conch shell disc club and lotus. His bodily hue was blackish, and he was dressed in yellow garments. Lord Vishnu appeared at an auspicious moment on Shravan Dvadasi, when the Abhijit star had risen. At that time, in all the three worlds, including the higher planetary system, outer space, and this earth, all the demigods, cows, Brahmins, and even the seasons were happy because of God's appearance. Therefore, this auspicious day is called Vijaya, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has a Sachidananda body, appeared as the son of Kashyapa and Aditi. Both of his parents were very astonished. After his appearance, the Lord assumed the form of a dwarf, Vaman. All the great sages expressed their jubilation, and with Kashyapa Muni before them, they performed the birthday ceremony of Lord Vamana. At the time of Vamanadeva's sacred thread ceremony, he was honored by the sun god, Brihaspati, the goddess presiding over the planet Earth, the deity of the heavenly planets, his mother, Lord Brahma, Kuvera, the seven rishis, and others. In the text, it says how each one of those gave him something. They each gave him something special. I did not prepare that. Vamanadeva then visited the sacrificial arena on the northern side of the Narmada River at the field known as Bhrigu Kachcha, where Brahmins of the Bhrigu dynasty were performing yajnas. Wearing a belt made of munja straw, an upper garment of deer skin, and a sacred thread, and carrying in his hands a danda, an umbrella, and a water pot, Kamandalu, Vamanadeva appeared in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Bali. Because of his transcendentally effulgent presence, all the priests were diminished in their prowess, and thus they all stood from their seats and offered prayers to Lord Vamanadeva. Even Lord Shiva accepts on his head the Ganges water generated from the toe of Vamanadeva. Therefore, after washing the Lord's feet, Bali Maharaj immediately accepted the water from the Lord's feet on his head and felt that he and his predecessors had certainly been glorified. Then Bali Maharaj inquired of Vamanadeva's welfare and requested the Lord to ask him for money, jewels, or anything he might desire. So Bali seems to be pretty good, even though he's the king of the demons. And similar, first he appears as Vishnu and then turns himself to look like the dwarf Brahman. Krishna first appeared as Narayan and then changed himself to look like an ordinary human child. What?
Is there a reason why he appeared as a dwarf? Because, you know, he came as Kurma for a reason, he came as Matsya for a reason, but why did he come as a dwarf? Did that serve as a...
Unfortunately, I do not know the answer to that question. Yes, Prabhu?
Prabhu, it says that this Lord Shiva accepts, you know, the Ganges from the
head.
So, also we have in Bhagavatam, we have a story that Bhagirath Maharaj, you know, he brought Ganges. So, what is the difference between that Ganges and this Ganges?
It is said that the Ganges is made up of three different sources. What is the difference? I'd have to research it. Because there's one description that Lord Narayan himself is the Ganges. The other description is what we're going to read about here. And then I don't remember what the third, you know, origin or third description of what is this. So I'd have to do research. Yes, yes, that whole narration. Okay, I don't know. Is it a different one? I don't know. Okay?
Can you please do the research and let me know if you can?
I will try my best.
I will send you a email.
Please do. Okay. All right, let's see where we left off. Did we finish?
Yeah.
We finished, okay.
8:19.
Lord Vamanadeva begs charity from Bali Maharaj. This 19th chapter describes how Vamanadeva asked for 3 paces of land in charity, how Bali Maharaj agreed to his proposal, and how Shukracharya forbade Bali Maharaj to fulfill Lord Vamanadeva's request. After Vamanadeva glorified Bali Maharaj's ancestry, the Lord made his request. I ask only 3 paces of land. However, Bali's guru, Shukracharya, disagreed and thus advised his disciple not to keep his promise to give charity to this dwarf Brahmana, who was actually Lord Vishnu in disguise. When Bali Maharaj, thinking Vamanadeva to be the son of a Brahmin, told him to ask for anything he liked, Vamanadeva praised Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha for their heroic activities. And after thus praising the family in which Bali Maharaj had been born, he begged the king for 3 paces of land. When Bali said that the Lord should ask for something greater, the personality of Godhead said, O my dear king, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the 3 worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the 3 worlds. Therefore, O King, from you, the best of those who give charity, I ask only 3 paces of land. By such a gift, I shall be very pleased. For the way of happiness is to be fully satisfied, to receive that which is absolutely needed. So in that particular section, Vamanadeva is speaking how an actual Brahmana should live and how he should think. That the Brahmana has to have mind control, sense control, and we all know from Bhagavad Gita, greed is one of the three gates that leads to hell. So greed is, I'm not satisfied, I want more. In the business world, you see it all the time. He wants to become multimillionaire, then a billionaire. The guy starts off just with a little political position, then he wants to get up, become senator, become president, then become head of the UN, then it never ends. So a Brahman, as is being pointed out by Vamanadeva, satisfied. The best example, Sudama. When he had nothing, it was Krishna conscious. When he got everything, nothing changed. Nothing changed. He was still the same Sudama Brahman. Let us continue. Thus, Bali Maharaj agreed to give charity, since this was very insignificant. But Shukracharya, who could understand that Vamanadeva was Vishnu, the friend of the demigods, forbade Bali Maharaj to give this land. Shukracharya advised Bali Maharaj to withdraw his promise. Shukracharya tried to dissuade Bali Maharaj from giving land to Lord Vamanadeva, and finally said to his disciple, in flattering a woman to bring her under control, in joking, in a marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood, when one's life is in danger, in protecting cows and Brahminical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. Because normally, we're supposed to be truthful. But this quote by Shukracharya, he says, I'm going to quote now from one of the Shastras. So, these are exceptions to the rule. These are when it is okay to lie. This is when it's okay not to be truthful. These are the exceptions to the rule. Okay, so which one?
Protecting a person from an enemy.
Yes. Okay. Earning one's livelihood, because Shukracharya knows he's going to take everything. I'm going to be out of a job here. My payday. Okay? Yes. Or he could also, one's life is in danger. Because, well, I don't want to spoil what's going to happen. So you could say that also. All right. So, chapter number 20. Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe. The summary of this 20th chapter is as follow. Despite his knowledge that Lord Vamanadeva was cheating him, and that's why in the mantra the first word was chalayasi, cheating. Despite his knowledge that Vamanadeva was cheating him, Bali Maharaj gave everything to the Lord in charity, and thus the Lord extended his body and assumed a gigantic form as Lord Vishnu. In this chapter, Bali Maharaj rejects his guru and keeps his promise. At first, Vamanadeva took two steps and covered the entire universe. Thus he is known as Urukram, the great stepper. Lord Chaitanya said, the word Urukram refers to one whose krama, step, is great. The word krama means throwing the foot forward, that is, stepping. I put that in there, I added that. That is when Lord Chaitanya is explaining the Atmarama verse to Sanatan Goswami. So he gives that example of Vamana Deva, so that's why I added that.
Do you remember that word, Atmarama?
Atmaramas Chamunayo.
Nirgantha Api Uru Krame.
There you go.
But then, what is the next one? Atmaramas Chamunayo Nirgantha Api Uru Krame. Kurvanti, something like that.
Mm-hmm. All right, another homework. After hearing the instructive advice of Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj became contemplative. Because it is the duty of a householder to maintain the principles of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, Bali Maharaj thought it improper to withdraw his promise to the brahmachari, to lie or fail to honor a promise given to a brahmachari is never proper, for lying is the most sinful activity. The four pillars of religion, truthfulness is one of the main pillars. So if somebody is lying, then that's destroying that pillar of truthfulness. Everyone should be afraid of the sinful reactions to lying, for Mother Earth cannot even bear the weight of a sinful liar. There's that story when that young boy wanted to become the disciple student of the Rishi. So the Rishi said, "So who's your father?" And the boy says, "I don't know." He said, "Well, go ask your mother." So the boy goes to his mother, "Who's my father?" But the mother was a prostitute. So she said, "My dear boy, I have no idea who's your father." So the boy went back to the Rishi. And the Rishi said, "So?" And the boy said, "My mother is a prostitute. I do not know who is my father." The Rishi said, "I will accept you as my disciple." Why? Because you did not hide yourself. You were truthful. That's, in other words, that is also one of the symptoms of a Brahmin, satyam. You tell the truth. So because the boy showed that, the Rishi agreed. Unlike Karna. Karna, when becoming the student of Parashuram, cheated and said, "Oh, I am a descendant of somebody." Okay? But then when the bug, that insect, bore into the skin and the blood, and then, yes, how you, and then he cursed him. "You tried to cheat me? Even though I've taught you all the mantras, when you need it, you're not going to remember." Karna was cursed twice. Twice he was cursed. Okay. The spreading of a kingdom or empire is temporary. If there is no benefit for the general public, such expansion has no value. Previously, all the great kings and emperors expanded their kingdoms with a regard for the welfare of the people in general. Indeed, while engaged in such activities for the benefit of the general public, eminent men sometimes even sacrificed their lives. It is said that one who is glorious in his activities is always living and never dies. Therefore, fame should be the aim of life. This is for a Kshatriya. And even if one becomes poverty-stricken for the sake of a good reputation, that is not a loss. Bali Maharaj thought that even if this brahmachari, Vamandev, were Lord Vishnu, if the Lord accepted his charity and then again arrested him, Bali Maharaj would not envy him. Considering all these points, Bali Maharaj finally gave in charity everything he possessed. Vamanadev then immediately extended himself into a universal body. By the mercy of Vamandev, Bali Maharaj could see that the Lord is all-pervading and that everything rests in his body. Bali Maharaj could see Vamanadev as the Supreme Vishnu, wearing a helmet, yellow garments, the mark of Sri Vatsa, the Kaustubha jewel, a flower garland, and ornaments decorating his entire body. The Lord gradually covered the entire surface of the world, and by extending his body, he covered the entire sky. With his hands, he covered all directions, and with his second footstep, he covered the entire upper planetary system. Therefore, there was no vacant place where he could take his third step. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I'm sure you know that. You know. So since we are, wonderful description of Lord Vamandev, so we can glorify those Sri Vatsa and Kaustubha jewel. So if you can, very in a nutshell, if you can tell the story about Sri Vatsa and Kaustubha jewel.
I do not know. I think you know.
No.
I don't know.
You know.
No. I do not know. I think you know.
No.
I do not know.
How he got that?
How he got that?
You know that.
I don't know how he got. That's just... Okay, I don't know. Sri Vatsa is always... Isn't it... I don't see...
Lakshmi.
Yeah, but I don't think he got that. That's just there. Kaustubha jewel, maybe there's some story where he gets... But as far as I know, you know some story of how... No, it's on his body.
But how he got that?
Well, why would... I don't understand why you would say how he got that. Because it's part of his body. It's not... I don't think he got Sri Vatsa. It's three curls of hair. So that's why I'm puzzled why you're saying he got that. It's...
How it happened?
I don't know. I never heard of an. I don't know if there's a story. You know. Obviously, you know something. Although,
you know, I think this Lakshmi ji is, and this Kaustubha jewel, is it the same money as this Satrajit, had that?
No. That's the Shamantaka jewel. There may be a description of the Kaustubha jewel in one of the Puranas, because it might even be in the Maha. I'm not sure. I might have read. But as far as Sri Vatsa, that's like saying, when did Krishna get his pigment? He's always... The Sri Vatsa is simply the insignia, the sign that Lakshmi is always at his chest. Not that I don't hear of anything where she, did something or... No, it's just... That's how I understand.
The only thing I know that if you go to the Vaikuntha, everybody looks same.
Except for that.
We can figure it out that this is...
Yes. Yes, but that doesn't mean that he got it. I don't... That would be new for me. Kaustubha jewel, that there could be a story where he got the Kaustubha. That's possible. Because something in my brain, I remember hearing something. There might be something in the Mahabharata that I read. That's the only thing. Okay? Shall we continue? Chapter 21, Bali Maharaj arrested by the Lord. This chapter describes how Lord Vishnu, desiring to advertise the glories of Bali Maharaj, arrested him for not fulfilling his promise in regard to the Lord's third step. So this is funny. You get famous for being arrested? Very funny. Let's see how, but it's true. It's true. We have to see how that is. With the second step, the Supreme Personality of Godhead reached the topmost planet of the universe, Brahmaloka, which he diminished in beauty by the effulgence of his toenails. Thus Lord Brahma, accompanied by great sages like Marichi and the predominating deities of all the higher planetary system, of the higher planets, offered humble prayers and worship to the Lord. They washed the Lord's feet and worshipped him with all paraphernalia. Riksharaj Jambavan played his bugle to vibrate the glories of the Lord. When Bali Maharaj was deprived of all his possessions, the demons were very angry. Although Bali Maharaj warned them not to do so, they took up weapons against Lord Vishnu. All of them were defeated, however, by Lord Vishnu's eternal associates. And in accordance with Bali Maharaj's order, they all entered the lower planets of the universe. So, Jambavan is in this Leela, and he also appears in Krishna Leela, and he's in Rama Leela. Three Leelas he's in. And, of course, he fights with Krishna for 28 days. Krishna gets his daughter and the Shaman Tucker jewel, both. And therefore, Krishna got his second wife, Jambavati. All right. Jai. Right. Especially her son, Samba, who was Jai. Hare Krishna. I was wondering when you were coming.
He made me late, imagine.
Ah.
I was waiting, waiting. I was ready 1 hour ago. But he's with me now.
You need a chair for me?
You need a chair? Shall I bring a chair for you?
No. Chapter 22. Bali Maharaj surrenders his life. The summary of this 22nd chapter is as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was pleased by the behavior of Bali Maharaj. Thus the Lord placed him on the planet of Sutala, and there, after bestowing benedictions upon him, the Lord agreed to become his doorman. So that's how it works. He's arrested, he's punished, but he gets Vaman. Indra doesn't get Vaman. Just as Duryodhan got Krishna's army and Arjuna got Krishna. Duryodhan thought, I am going to clobber these guys. Yes. Same way in the sixth canto, Vritrasura is killed by Indra, but Vritrasura goes back to Godhead. And Vritrasura then gets, Indra gets the attacked by the sinful reaction of killing a Brahmin in the form of a woman with tuberculosis. And she's chasing him all around. And it's like everywhere he goes. So finally he takes shelter of this lotus stem by the mercy of Lakshmi. And that relieves him of that curse from the woman with tuberculosis, which was the reaction of killing a Brahmin. Because the Brahmin has told him, don't worry about doing all these things, we'll protect you. But actually, they couldn't protect him. You cannot commit a sinful activity and think that you can't commit a sinful activity on purpose thinking I can nullify it, like the seventh offense, to commit sins on the strength of chanting. Can't do that. You can't, after you know about the holy name, you can't think, oh, I can do this sinful thing, and afterwards I'll chant, it'll be okay. As the scriptures say, such a person will never be delivered by any method. There is no hope for such a person. There's no atonement for that. So that's the seventh offense. Let us continue. Bali Maharaj was extremely truthful, Being unable to keep his promise, he was very much afraid, for he knew that one who has deviated from truthfulness is insignificant in the eyes of society. An exalted person can suffer the consequences of hellish life, but he is very much afraid of being defamed for deviation from the truth. Bali Maharaj agreed with great pleasure to accept the punishment awarded him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bali Maharaj's dynasty, there were many asuras who, because of their enmity toward Vishnu, had achieved a destination more exalted than that of many mystic yogis. Bali Maharaj specifically remembered the determination of Prahlad Maharaj in devotional service. Considering all these points, he decided to give his head in charity as the place for Vishnu's third step.
I forgot the relation between Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj.
Grandson. Bali Maharaj also considered how great personalities give up their family relationships and material possessions to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, they sometimes even sacrifice their lives for the satisfaction of the Lord, just to become His personal servants, just like the Trasura. He fought, but he knew, once I'm slain, I'm going back to Godhead. Accordingly, by following in the footsteps of previous acharyas and devotees, Bali Maharaj perceived himself successful. While Bali Maharaj, having been arrested by the ropes of Varuna, was offering prayers to the Lord, his grandfather, there it is, Prahlad Maharaj, appeared there and described how the Supreme Personality of Godhead had delivered Bali Maharaj by taking his possessions in a tricky way. While Prahlad Maharaj was present, Lord Brahma and Bali's wife Vindhyavali described the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. In the narration, Vindhyavali interrupts Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is talking, and Vindhyavali comes in and interrupts Lord Brahma and actually says, "Yes, my husband is nonsense. This is very good what Lord Vamanadeva has done." Bali Maharaj's wife, Vindhyavali, described the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. Since Bali Maharaj had given everything to the Lord, they prayed for his release. The Lord then described how a non-devotee's possession of wealth is a danger, whereas a devotee's opulence is a benediction from the Lord. So that we must remember, that whatever Krishna gives us, it's Krishna's gift, and we have to use it nicely. This person may get lots of things from Krishna. If he uses it for Krishna, fantastic. I may get only one pair of kartals. That's all right. If this is what Krishna has given me, I must use it. And Prabhupada used to tell us in the opening days of the movement that sometimes there was not a lot of funds. Things were very scarce. So Prabhupada used to say, Krishna wants to see how you use what He has already given you. When He sees that you are using everything He's given you, then He will give you more. Yes, but that's the key. And I also preach that at Radharaman Temple, because they're always talking about the new temple. So several times I've said at the Sunday feast, Krishna will give you your new temple when He sees that what we have now is being fully utilized. Otherwise, you're not going to get that new temple. What do you think? Yeah, the guy wants to see, are you using everything I'm already giving you?
So like your old car, you've used, burnt all the normal, you've used properly, then you get a new car.
Yes, my old car I had for 10 years. You know? Okay, let us continue. The Lord then described how a non-devotee's possession of wealth is a danger. Why? Because if he doesn't use it for Krishna, that is going to be his ticket to hell. His passage money. Whereas a devotee's opulence is a benediction from the Lord. Then being pleased with Bali Maharaj, the Supreme Lord offered his disc to protect Bali and promise to remain with him. And in the fifth canto, Shukadeva Goswami says, you know what happened? After all this, when Bali is in that planet of Sutala, Ravana came to conquer. But he was greeted by Lord Vamanadeva and he kicked him. Go back. He kicked Ravana. So it's true, exactly what it said. He cannot pick up.
He pick up the Kailas Parvat with the Lord Shiva and Parvati, but he can unable to pick up only the earrings of the Lord.
Jai Hari Bol. Very nice. Thank you for sharing. Okay, everybody chant the Maha Mantra.
One more thing, you know, have just occurred while we are discussing. That was it the Shukracharya's daughter or Bali Maharaj's daughter? They saw Vamanadeva. And then she fall in love immediately to Vamanadeva, that please be my son in next life.
Don't know this
so
one.
That is becomes Putana.
Don't know.
Remember Lilavati?
You know so many things I don't know.
Reading many other books besides our Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita.
There is some story like that, because I know Lokanath Maharaj told once, I don't know. I'm the wrong person to ask. I'm sorry. Okay, I think this is the final chapter. Chapter 23, the demigods regain the heavenly planets. This chapter describes how Bali Maharaj, along with his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, entered the planet Sutala, and how the Supreme Personality of Godhead allowed Indra to re-enter the heavenly planet. There is a nice conversation between Prahlad Maharaj and Vamanadeva, as well as Shukracharya's realization that there may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles, and moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when the Lord's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. So, Nimai Charan, can you loudly give us the Sanskrit loud? Yeah, loud, very loud. Jai. At the time of your death, that is what's going to come out. That mantra.
I hope you're there.
I will be there. And I will say, okay, Nimai Charan, close the program. And that verse will come out. The great soul, Bali Maharaj, experienced that the highest gain in life is to attain devotional service under the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet in full surrender. Being fixed in this conclusion, his heart full of ecstatic devotion and his eyes full of tears, he offered obeisances to the Personality of Godhead and then, with his associates, entered the planet known as Sutala. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead satisfied the desire of Aditi and reinstalled Lord Indra. Prahlad Maharaj, being aware of Bali's release from arrest, then described the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this material world. Prahlad Maharaj praised the Supreme Lord for creating the material world, for being equal to everyone, and for being extremely liberal to the devotees, just like a desire tree. Indeed, Prahlad Maharaj said that the Lord is kind not only to his devotees, but also to the demons. In this way, he described the unlimited causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, with folded hands, he offered his respectful obeisances unto the Lord. And after circumambulating the Lord, he also entered the planet Sutala in accordance with the Lord's order. The Lord then ordered Shukracharya to describe Bali Maharaj's faults and discrepancies in executing the sacrificial ceremony. Shukracharya became free from fruitive actions by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Everybody? And he explained how chanting can diminish all the faults of the conditioned soul. He then completed Bali Maharaj's sacrificial ceremony. All the great saintly persons accepted Vamana Dev as the benefactor of Lord Indra because he had returned Indra to his heavenly planet. They accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the maintainer of all the affairs of the universe. Being very happy, Indra, along with his associates, placed Vamana Dev before him and re-entered the heavenly planet in their aeroplane. Having seen the wonderful activities of Lord Vishnu in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj, all the demigods, saintly persons, pittas, bhutas, and siddhas glorified the Lord again and again. This chapter concludes by saying that the most auspicious function of the conditioned soul is to chant and hear about the glorious activities of Lord Vishnu, which is exactly what we did today. All glories to the wonderful narration of Vamana Dev. Everybody chant. Vamana Dev.